Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, and over my head, I hear music.
say, welcome to the Care to Read room. This is your Omi Inka 7, the advisor you need and the advocate you want. Welcome to the Care to Read room. We'd like to thank you for joining us this evening on this segment. This is our 14th segment, ladies and gentlemen, and talking about health education. Thanks for joining us this evening. We'd like to borrow your airways for 60 minutes, and we will give you a world back promptly at 1 hour. Thank you so much. And those of you who travel with me on my journey out in the forest and the hidden lake, boy, did you have a great time traveling with me going out near the water. What better place to have a show? Once again, I'd like to thank my listening audience, and our call number here is 646-478-0270. Those of you who are teachers, please gather around for those providers, those aspire teachers, those early childhood candidates, and possibly even CDA candidates. Please gather around the listening airways today, because I'd like to share with you some tidbits that might help you in your profession of early childhood in the area of education. Yes, we're going to be talking about that long sought after topic, the CDA. When most teachers hear this that are in the field of child development, their ears go up. A lot of women right now know that there is a mandate to try to close the gap of getting teachers credentialed in the area of child development. That's right. It fits right into Project 2019's mission. By closing the gap and getting more teachers prepared to go on to sit for their examination and complete all 5 segments of the training program for the government under CDA, they are meeting the requirement of getting more teachers credentialed and consequently closing the gap. For those ladies who might have gone out on my keen.com website, that site has been out there now for about 7 years. It's been made available to teachers or potential teachers who would like to know more about how to become an advisor. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I am going to be sharing with those aspiring teachers how they can become advisors and have a credential and work as an adjunct as well as a contracted agent. What I'd like to say is that we are going to stop and pause for a minute, go to station identification, and get ready for our ritual. And as you know, we have to ask our ancestors if we have permission to talk, and we also have to invite in our elders. So let me go to station identification, and I'll be right back at you in the air, and then we will be ready to start our ritual.
Keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and you're in the Care to Read room if you're just wondering out there and are selecting one of the radio shows to listen to. We'd like to invite you to come in and join us. This evening our topic is on how to become a CDA candidate, and for those of you teachers who are interested in becoming a CDA advisor, we'll be talking about how to become a CDA advisor as well as how to become a TACS, a training and curriculum specialist. Now, before we go any further, I'd like to get myself cleaned up here and get purified. As I ask my audience to come over closer, I'm going to ask someone to come and purify me. Would you please come and purify me and pour the water over my hand so I can get purified? Thank you very much for purifying me. Now, as I begin to look to my right, I look to my left, And I look out there and I look to see if there's an elder in the audience that can give me permission to speak. Is there an elder? Can you give me permission to speak?
Yeah.
Is there an elder that can give me permission to speak out there? Can you give me permission to speak, elder?
Yes, we can give you permission to speak.
Thank you very much. I got permission from the elder to speak. And now I'd like to invite the ancestors in. I'd like to invite the ancestors in, those that are unborn, those that may be on their way here, and those that may have been forgotten. I'd like to invite those ancestors here so that I can stand on their shoulders, ladies and gentlemen. Those are the ones that inspire me, that encourage me, and give me direction for my life. I'd like to invite those ancestors, and remember we use the word Ashe to acknowledge each and every one of their names when we call their names out. And if you don't mind, I'd like for you to call those names out afterwards of your own personal elders. In the meantime, you can just call out your personal elder's name. But right now, I'd like to call the heroes and sheroes. And as I call their names out, you can just say Ashe. Richard Wright, Ashe. James Baldwin, Ashe. Malcolm X, Ashe. Ernest Gaines, Ashe. William Melvin Kelly, Ashe. Langston Hughes, Ashe. Paul Lawrence Dumba, Ashe. Gwendolyn Brooks, Ashe. Zora Neale Hurston, Ashe. James Weldon Johnson, Ashe. Mary McLeod Bethune, Ashe. Paul Lawrence Dunbar, Ashe. W.E.B. Du Bois, Ashe. Dr. Martin Luther King, Ashe. Coretta Scott King, Ashe. And now I'd like to present my personal ancestors, my mother and my father on each side. Clara Mae Jenkins, Ashe. Robert Jenkins, Ashe. Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Elsa Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Mae Lilly, Ashe. Initial Lilly, Ashe. Aunt Ruby Lilly, Ashe. Michelle Harvey, Ashe. Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. Michael Harvey, Ashe. Tom Harvey, Ashe. And we say Ashe to those ancestors and invite them to be a part of our ceremony, to be a part of our evening, to also give us the strength and the courage to go forward. Help us to unite with our nature area. Help us to unite back with the forces to be so that we can connect to the energy of the natural life. Let us go forward in a way that we are conscious of the fact that we can no longer excuse the fact that we are not a part of nature. Nature is our testing ground to help us to know that there is a God. Nature responds as if she is a God to us. Help us to be polite and respectful to our natural grounds and to our soil from which we came. Help us to be conscious of the fact that our waterways must stay clean. Help us to understand that we are the coyote, we are the fox, we are the owl, we are the squirrel. Just as we are connected to the geese, the ducks, we are all a part of each other. And there is help available for us, ladies and gentlemen. We only need to ask for the rivers to make the way open for us, to give us sanctuary and protection. To give us sanctuary would mean to cover us and to protect us in these difficult times. We ask for nature to allow us to be a part of her community again As we commune with nature, we commune with God. Ladies and gentlemen, the God that you're looking for is on the inside of you. He would prefer that you would press him forward by allowing him to show up in your life, would be pressing him forward. When one or two are gathered as to anything in his name, he will show up in the midst of them. And know this, ladies and gentlemen, there is no atmosphere that can contain the energy that we are looking for, called a Jesus or a God. There's no atmosphere that will open up that will present to us a Jesus. The Jesus that we knew must be seen on the faces of each and every one of us. And please, ladies and gentlemen, don't make the mistake of not realizing that you, too, have the essence of God. You collaborate with him. You cooperate with him on one accord. Keep pressing him or her forward. This is a concept where there is no gender. Keep pressing him or her forward. In your life every day, call forth to God, and she or he will show up. We're asking that God said to show up in our life so that we too can stand in our proper places and begin to direct our family, giving our family's path and a direction, a spiritual path with good character, good conduct, Iwapelu. Iwapelu is what we're asking for. And we will be careful and gracious to give our Ori all of the praise and the honor. And I'd like to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, that you are incorporating rituals, traditions into your household, teaching your children and guiding your children at all times, not just when you feel like it, but at all times. We are to acknowledge the ancestors, summon the ancestors, acknowledge each and every one of our elders and our heroes and sheroes. I like to pour libation to the east. I like to pour libation to the west. I like to pour libation to the north and the south and scatter libation all over. In these places that we pour libation, we are sanctioning those grounds to be holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. Therefore, the ancestors have been called forth, and they are present here with us now, more so than ever before. Ancestors, allow us to entertain your melanin. Allow us to tap into your powers. Allow us to be able to equate your knowledge and your gifts so that we can carry on the mission for our people, for our African families. And the question is, how is the African family feeling this evening? How is the African family feeling this evening? And how are the children? Well, I would think, because I am, because we are, and because we are, therefore I am. We'd like to conclude our ceremony and thank each and every one of you for being a part. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're not finished yet. We're going to go right into our discussion today, but I'd like to give you a few tidbits. And as you know, we are a reading organization where we recommend books, and you tell them these books are recommended by Omi. And Omi said, let your light shine on the world. And that is exactly what Omi is doing this evening, letting her light shine on the world. I'd like to say hello to our neighboring organization, our radio show and television show out there. There's a neighbor, Harambe. I'd like to say three shouts out to Brother Delani Aman, Harambe. Hello, Delani Aman, and we say thank you for the work you're doing. Keep up the good work. We still haven't forgot about you, and we love you. Keep going. We've got your back. Now, I'd like to go on and say that I've picked up one important book that I wanted to share with the teachers, since I do have the audience of the teachers today. And this is definitely not a show where we're bringing teachers on to speak primarily, but we would like to have them sit in our audience and be a part. So if you're not there yet, teachers, please call in with your numbers and call in with your questions at 646-478-0270. One book that came to me when I first started teaching here in Indiana, even though I had been teaching many years, I was treated as if I was one of the new teachers just beginning. But I was really gracious to get this particular journal, and I had treasured it and carried it around for about 7 years. And this journal was entitled, What Have You Done for a Child Today? It's a reflection journal, and I was asked to make reflections of what I did throughout the day for a child. I had to do integrative units and small group activities, representative to learn in the classroom workshops, authentic experiences, just reflectives in general. But what I noticed most was the inscription and the little article that was written to the people by the starfish is what it says. And I'd like to share that with you. It says, during a sunrise walk, a person was seen dancing through the waves on the sand. Every now and then, the person would bend over to pick up a starfish and toss it back into the ocean. I selected the person. Why? I asked the person why. He said, the tide is going out. If I don't throw them in, they will die. And I said, since there are so many starfish laying on the huge beach, you can't possibly make a difference. Then the person bent over, picking up another starfish, and the person stated as he threw it into the ocean, I made a difference for that one, and I'll make a difference for the next. The person's action represented something special in each of us, ladies and gentlemen, the ability to make a difference. Each of us has the power to help people reach their goals. The vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time away. Vision without action can change the world. Or vision with action can change the world. This particular segment really touched my heart because each day that we work with a child, not knowing how much we're going to progress, or how well the child is going to do, we continue to bend over and stretch ourselves and our time to help those children. I was told frequently that I was always bent over tying up a shoe, that people never saw the front of me because I was always bent over tying a shoe up and zipping a coat up. That was a good position for people to see me in because they knew I was always struggling to help a child. I ask you teachers the question today, what have you done for a child today? Have you bent over? Have you stretched yourself? Have you extended yourself? Have you gone the distance of going to that child's community or home? That's right. I ask, or home, because some of us old-timers have to remember it is to our benefit to go into the homes and to talk to the parents. Sometimes we don't know what we'll find there. We could possibly find mothers shut in and shutting the world out, mothers that are lost and beside themselves, children who are making do on their own, and mothers who have been waiting for somebody to come by to make a difference. I visited a few of those homes before I retired. And do you know I went into the heart of the ghetto? Something told me inside not to be afraid because these were our people and that I would meet with good gestures. And I did. I found mothers who simply needed someone to hold their hand to listen to them tell their story. I found mothers who really wanted to be good parents but didn't know how because they had so many other things to tend to in their home. I'd like to implore you teachers to stretch yourself today. Bend over and pick up those one or two shellfish. They can make a difference. The children that you think won't prosper or won't do well are the ones that will fool you. And I implore you to get a journal. Write in your journal. Talk about the things you do with the child. Do your planning there. What's the effective classroom management? Lay it out for your children as you begin the school year. Because you're going to have problems. I guarantee you're going to have children that try you. I guarantee you they're going to test your judgment, and they're going to question you. So you have to be prepared for them, and you have to lay these things out. Having a journal where you can jot these things down can make a difference. As a training and curriculum specialist, which is called the PACS, it's a very prominent position with the government, which I never knew existed. And I'm going to start with that particular topic before I go into the CDA. The training and curriculum specialist was a category that I didn't even know existed, even though I had acquired a master's degree in curriculum and instruction. The government had thought it was necessary to create a job description of a TACS, a training and curriculum specialist, one that would manage all the affairs and govern all of the acts of any employee who was seeking to get credentials and go further on, as well as to develop a 5-year plan of their educational growth and programs, which I thought was fantastic. These students could literally go to school in a traditional setting in a college, or they could take in-house seminars and trainings, or maybe even the CDA on site. They also had journals, and they had a file that was kept on all the trainings that they attended, which the training and curriculum person had to manage and keep track of. Periodically, they were audited, their files, to see if they were on target and completing their 5-year plan. This is one of the jobs that the training curriculum person does. The other job would mean possibly be a task to go into the homes to assess the child care provider in their natural environment to see if they were carrying out the task of a provider. They also could go into the center to observe the early childhood teacher in their natural setting and make an assessment of things that they need to adapt or change. The other task would mean to work out in the community doing seminars, workshops, informing the community of the services that are available to the military families that pertain to child development. The training task is considered as a contracted position. They're contracted by the government. They work as an independent contractor with a contract that starts for 3.5 years and could be renewed. This contract would allow that candidate to work in any different part of the geographical continent they want to. They're paid at a salary level. They're paid for housing as well as salary. Their salary is very good. Now, a tourist, you're on governmental official orders and on tour. That is one particular job title you can take, or you can take a permanent overseas job, which means you become a permanent employee overseas, and you don't go home except for when you get vacation. There are many teachers abroad that are working all over the continent, and they're doing various different jobs in middle school, high school, for the Dodge system, or for the college system. I happen to be working for the college continuation program that they had, which allowed me to also offer 4-credit coursework in-house at the facility rather than sending them out to college. The CDA program came in the area of requirements. Because of the shortage of early childhood teachers, most of the teachers landed jobs without having credentials. But soon the state laws changed and said that they would like for everyone to be credentialed by a certain year. So there's a big push to get everyone credentialed with a CDA degree or diploma. And it's not called a degree because you obtain 9 credit hours, and those hours can be transferred over to a degree. Now, for those teachers who might be looking to pick up another credential in the area of child development, they can meet all the requirements for the school, state, university for child development, and they can go back and acquire a master's degree and then become eligible to be an advisor. Or they can actually have an early childhood degree and become an advisor. Or if they are a CDA already and have a CDA, they're now saying that they will no longer accept just the CDA. You must have a bachelor's degree to become an advisor. When becoming an advisor, what happens is that you are registered with the state. You become a contracted agent. for that state, and your name is put on the list for that state to see, and those students could contract you to do their observation. What do I mean by observation? The observations are done in the teacher's environment. It could be family child care, it could be center-based child care, or and in that situation, it could be infant and toddlers as well. At that particular time, if you sign off to be a student advisor, you're then responsible for their 3.5-hour observation. That does not necessitate training. You can very well just be the advisor and do the 3.5-hour observation alone for the state. Or you could very well carry the title of the trainer as well. That could mean in an institution where you are 501(c) non-for-profit organization that has been approved as a training institute. You then can offer that candidate the 120 clock hours that are required by state that they finish. These are not college hours, however they can be, but they could be continuing education hours. Most trainers are certified to endorse and give continuing education hours through their training program. And if you're offering the option of wearing both hats, the advisor and the trainer, that is even better because then you know the candidate that you're observing. On my keen.com site, for those of you who are interested in becoming advisors, you can contact me on that keen.com /Lady Jaguar. You can contact me on that site, and that site is put up specifically for those candidates who would like to become a trainer of the trainer. I offer that program periodically throughout the year. However, I'm only offering it now on as needed based on how many students sign up for that program. I do still advise students, and that site was primarily meant for advisory work, so I can work one-on-one with students when they're collecting their specimens for their portfolio. There is a portfolio that you're required to collect documents for, and this goes to the council. The council receives that portfolio, examines it, and gives it a score. The council also comes out and gives an objective exam of, I think it was 25 questions or more. Then there's also an oral exam of maybe 10 questions or more. I'm not certain how many they have these days, but it is an oral exam that they get also. And these specimens, there are 5 areas that have to be examined for that candidate, and there are several council reps that sit on the rep. The rep comes out, which I am also a rep, but you cannot do rep work while doing advising. It is a conflict of interest, so you have to choose which area you would want to work in. The rep's responsibility is to collect the documents and give those tests and to also take those documents back to the council for examining. Now, this is a rather lengthy process. It's not something that you can do overnight. The shortest length of time that I saw this whole process done is between 9 to 10 months. Most people go and register for a program at the junior college, which is a 1-year program. However, it can be completed within 9 to 10 months. As an advisor, you work very closely with your advisor. You consult your advisor for recommendation. And you also depend on your advisor to help you write your competencies. You have 13 competencies to write. And that doesn't mean because you're fluent writing, you write so well that you're going to get that right the first time. What that means, you have to write specifically with information on each of those areas of topic for the 13 areas. You must focus in on those 13 areas on each one of those areas when you write, and you answer the question specifically to what you do in those areas. Competencies are very important. Sometimes I offer a class just for learning to write the competencies to help women to go to the board, to write out their statements, to let this be their statements and not a boilerplate statement that they're copied from somewhere else, but things that they actually do in their classroom. And we help customize it to their own need and based on what they're doing in their class. And then we help them professionalize that writing so that it is put in a format so that these competencies are presented. And this is the bulk of the CDA, is the competencies, the 13 competencies that you're writing on, not to mention the articles, the reviews, the brochures that you're collecting. And they're collected from various different places all over, and it's outlined in the application. And it's like a five-part application that has to be completed. They have to have signatures, and advisors have to sign off on it. It's a great idea for teachers to become credentialed. It allows you to bring in 480 clock hours, which is about 6 months of volunteer or experience that you've had on the job working with children, preschoolers. That is, those hours are given to you if you can prove that you have worked over 6 months. You're given 6 months of experience for your life experiences. So it becomes a non-traditional program where you're granted acknowledgments for your life experiences. What a way to go, ladies. You can take your child care development background and use it as a kickoff point to start your career. I think it's fantastic. I think the government has done a good gesture in helping females get started in the way of child development. Now, did I just say females? I also meant to say males as well. Gentlemen, this program is also available to males. And I am going to be looking at encouraging more males to go into this field. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pay the males extra preferential treatment, because in the book that I'm working on right now, the effects that females have on African-American males, coupled with their culture, I am going to offer a program in the handbook that will work specifically with males who would like to obtain their CDA and work in the profession. It's a great profession for males to work in. They tend to do extremely well, and they, too, can open up their own centers, licensed child care, work in the area of a center-based child care, director child care. And there are other programs that will allow you to have hands-on of 90 hours of training in the administrative part, which is separate from this. You then can become an administrator. Now, they used to have head teacher one, head teacher two, but I don't think they do that anymore. I think they're primarily looking for the CDA. Now, for those of you men who would like to learn all about child development, please do type in mykeen.com / Lady Jaguar and contact me with your questions about how can you become a child development CDA candidate, how could you get involved in being a part of learning about how to be a CDA candidate. I would be glad to help you, and as I said, I am going to be putting that in my manual, a program for males to help them in the area of the shortage that we are experiencing of male teachers. I truly would like to see those male teachers in those early childhood programs so that they can go on and get their bachelor's degree. Now, here's a great deal, people. The government has stepped in most of the states where there's still money, and they've given grants and scholarships to help you and assist you to getting your credentials. And this is not something you have to pay back. It is funding that they will pay for as long as you get your degree in early childhood development. They will allow you to go as far up as getting your master's, if I'm not mistaken. That's a great deal. I don't know what other way you can go. When you start off this way, you get a specialty. And if you decide to go back and do elementary, then you really, really have it going on because you're credentialed in two different areas. And that's what I happen to have done. I got my two different degrees simultaneously, one from birth to from birth to six, and then one from K to nine. And it's very important because it opens up a lot more doors. Now, let me tell you about the great opportunity that exists abroad. There's so many opportunities. Everybody all over the world knows about the CDA. And the way I got connected to going overseas was through a group of women who were over in Guam and different parts of the world practicing in the area of child development. And it was because they got their CDA that they were able to go abroad and to work. So this little credential took them all over the world. Of course, they had to get a bachelor's degree. Once they got the CDA, they could not walk around without credentials. They transferred that CDA 9 credit hours over and went for that two-year associate degree, and then advanced on to the bachelor's degree. Why am I saying all this? Project 2019 is a firm believer that if we empower ourselves with knowledge, knowledge through getting credentials of a bachelor's, associate, or master's, or PhD, then we can open doors that were once closed. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Knowledge is power, and we are trying to close that gap. This is a non-traditional program for people who have no credentials. Now, here's another thing you might not know. For those of you who do not have your GED and have not graduated from high school, there's even programs within the CDA to help you. And I've helped many women who didn't have those credentials. Now, I'm not saying every one of you can just jump into the program, but there's programs that we can look into in helping you. Once again, there is a need for everyone to become literate and learning. And on that note, I'm going to pause and say something about the book that we're recommending today, and I don't want to forget that book. And as you know, Omi always recommends a book for the family. This is for the family and for teachers as well. This book is entitled The African American Literature, an anthology of nonfiction, fiction, poetry, and drama. And it's written by Demetria Worley, Jesse Terry Jr., and it's forwarded by Nikki Giovanni, ladies and gentlemen. Wouldn't you know it? Nikki Giovanni put her hand on this. Now, they talk about the folk tradition, going into detail, talking about folklore. And I'd like to read you a little something it says here. Folklore, like other genders of literature, serve as a mirror of what we like to call the human condition. Folklore helps explain human relationships, desires and fears, and clarity. Those doubts we have about life, folk tales and mythologies, have no culture or no ethic boundaries. They are used by all the world's people to convey their culture, religion, and social custom. Although both folklore and mythologies are based on legend, there is a slight difference between them. Folklore consists of traditional tales handed down from the generation to the next by the common people. That would be our ancestors. These tales may teach a lesson, impact history, or simply entertain. Myths, on the other hand, attempt to account for something that occurred in nature and may tell about the particular country or person. The use of folk material, they're talking about folk material, ladies and gentlemen, the use of the folk material. The use of folk materials by African-American writers began with William Wells Brown, the first African-American to publish a novel in the United States. Let me repeat that, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear me? William Wells Brown, the first African-American to publish a novel in the United States. He used the folk anecdotes in My Southern Home in 1880, Charles Weldon Chestnut, the father of the African-American short story, also used folk material in The Conjured Woman in 1899. Much of the early folk literature and the black themes was written not by blacks, but by whites, some of whom used the invented folk tales to foster negative stereotypes of African Americans, portraying them as either comics or pathics. And African American writers found a valuable source in folk material. Paul Laurence Dunbar, for example, used it in his poetry as he wrote about everyday events in the lives of common people. Poet and scholar Sterling Brown, who wrote who taught for many years of Howard at Howard University, at Howard University and Washington, D.C., and launched the use of folk character by depicting them in a variety of human endeavors, ranging from trivial to tragic. Zora Neale Hurston, my favorite. James Walden Johnson, another one of my favorites. Langston Hughes, Jean Trimmer, and Julius Lester were among those writers who utilized folk material in their literary work. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you see how important it is for us to put tradition back into our home, back into our classroom, back into our curriculum? Now, I read that for you to let you know that this book is available. You need to go out and get this book right away. It was a treasure book in my classroom, so treasured to the point that every day we found it necessary to read a chapter from this book. I can't begin to tell you some of the great things that it had in here. One of them is The Steel-Driven Man. I don't know if anybody has read that story before, but that was a fantastic story that I read to my sixth graders, The Magic. And this book in and of itself was magic just alone. The Doodah in Memory. Oh, they went on to On Being a Woman. There's a whole segment. I'd like to read you a little segment from the On Being a Woman from chapter 5. African-American women have struggled for a place in society since they were brought to this country as slaves. They performed strenuous labor and gave birth to children who often were taken away from them after slavery and well into the 20th century. It was women who were able to find jobs, most often in housekeeping, cook, and maid, while allowing the African-American family to survive financially. At the same time, African-American women have been viewed as intellectually inferior to men. I wonder why. When confronted by negative stereotypes from society as a whole, or even from the African-American community itself, African-American women have not given in to defeat. They have committed to raising and to demanding their rightful places in society. As individual mothers, daughters, sisters, aunts, grandmothers, they have worked within their families and their jobs and their communities to search for and create a sense of themselves as African Americans and women. African American women writers have created women characters who pass on their knowledge of life and survive through our culture and history from one generation to the next. These characters are neither perfect nor flawed. They are all trying to survive in the perfect world that judges them. The next generation, because of the color of their skin and their gender. This knowledge enables the next generation of African American women to rise above the condition in which they live and to reach a new level of understanding, I would imagine, about life and about what it means to be an African-American woman. Oh, to be an African-American woman, the troubles that sometimes we shoulder up on our shoulder, it makes us a better family member. It helps us to set the course for our family. It is the temperament of the woman in the household that sets the course for the family. So men, treat your women right. Show them love, be sensitive to them, be patient with them, because they are building nations. They are nation builders. If you become cruel and bitter and they internalize this and they think someone's taking them for granted, it really will affect the temperament of the home and the household. Now, it's important that we understand that when a man was born and when any seed was born, it had within it male and female. Male and female. It was determined that it could go either way while developing. But they had both gender, male and female, he had both genders. XY chromosome, XX chromosome, it was there. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that It is the woman's blood that fertilizes the child. So in determining that child's DNA and who he is and who he belongs to, sure enough, we understand the man's seed, but it's very important that the maturation stage of that child and the lineage of that child will be of the mother. How silly was it for us to think that a woman was insignificant? A woman carries the weight of the world, ladies and gentlemen. We must treat her in those perspectives. It is important that we read Folk Boy to find out a little bit about those myths so we can debunk those myths, so we can change the history books and change things the way that they should be. So many days and times a woman has had to carry things unnecessarily, and she never complained. She just went along. Once and for all, men, we are going to have to show our women that we love them. We're going to have to show that there is no odds against the black woman and that we are each other's best friend and that we can get along. It's important for the woman to have duality in searching for my best friend. And, you know, I talked about that in my thesis, how I search for my best friend in my effort to find my best friend. You look and look for your best friend, and you look it all over for your best friend. You don't realize your best friend is with you all the time, that you share in duality. And what I like to play for you is My Greatest Challenge, and then go on to My Best Friend.
Miracle Worker, arranged by the author, Shirelle Omiinka Binka Bidiako Garth. My husband thinks that I'm a miracle worker, but dig this, here's a realtor. She tucks $20 in my hand, and I say, man, what's your plan? He responds, I'm sure that you understand. He says, here, take this and go shopping, without even stopping to think that it's been a long time since grits was poultry, and since $20 bought groceries. While just the other day, he requested gourmet. I put chicken on his plate instead, and hoped that he didn't realize it was fake. I guess somebody has to determine his fate. As a miracle worker, you know I don't have to debate. On his days off, all he wants to do is sit and gaze. Why, he never wants to interface about the good old days. His mind is somewhere off, always in a daze. The television occupies a great portion of his time. He keeps on promising that he'll read a few of my lines. But I have to laugh, oh girl, I have to laugh to keep from crying, because he really thinks that I'm a miracle worker. I ain't lying. His greatest consolation is flipping the television station from station to station. Hopefully soon he'll be ready to take a vacation, that is, from the television station, because the real tip jerker is that I am no miracle worker. I am no miracle worker. That's the real tearjerker. My Best Friend, arranged by the author Shirelle Omiinka Bidiako Garth. I wrote a thesis. No, I'm not a doctor studying in amniocentesis. About the effect that the female had on the black man. It was time somebody took a real stand in order to redeem man. My instructors and professors had applauded for me challenging such a topic that had long been avoided. In my effort to find my best friend, it had led me to a place of no real end, realizing in reality that we both existed in total duality. The document was submitted for publishing to Juwanza Kanjufu, after it had been read by Teju. He soon wrote back with publishing instructions, only now I can't get my writing on for so much disruption. In due time, I guess, or maybe even in a good season. You know, all things usually work together for a reason. This task has appeared to lead me down a different path, which has now held up my draft. Moreover, what I ponder, What made me write about the black man, I wonder, while in my struggle to find my best friend, led me to a place of no real end, that we both existed in total duality. I was searching as if I was under a spell, which had my inhibition backed up, like mail, lock, stock, and barrel. Father, I hope you'll be able to forgive me for not first attempting to look within. In my struggle to find my best friend, realizing in reality we both existed in total duality. In my final effort to complete this thesis, I had to research all the original pieces, rhyme upon rhyme, serving up no hymns before their time in order to bring a new flavor of line, while collecting these legendary species to collaborate with this foreign thesis. I had to consult with the priestess on the topic of discussion to avoid any future repercussion in my struggle to find my best friend, which had led me to a place of no real end.
Once again, we'd like to thank you and welcome you back to the Care to Read Room. Our phone number here is 646-478-0270, and we've been talking about the requirements to become a CDA advisor. How do you become a CDA advisor, and must you have credentials such as a bachelor's degree to qualify? And where are the programs located? Some of the programs are located throughout the state. You can find them online. And once again, we'd like to employ all those teachers who are interested in advancing themselves to become an adjunct and work as a contracted CDA. Definitely, you want to look into this option. It is a great opportunity for traveling abroad. It is a great opportunity for being an adjunct and a professional entrepreneur. And we're talking about the various different curriculums and books to put in the classroom, and we had recommended the African American Literature book, which is an anthology, nonfiction, fiction, poetry, and drama. And you have been hearing throughout the segment my poetry. I am a writer and I write poetry. I definitely would like for you to go out and look under Lulu, www.lulu.com. My package is featured out there, my two-volume CD, as well as my wireless book is available. So please go out and purchase some of these particular poems. And I am in the process of posting my next book called License to Preach. I think you will really like that one. It's kind of interesting, a little bit different. It includes a lot of my Pal Talk friends and some of the things that we used to do on the Pal Talk. And I think it's a little catchy, and you'll like that. I'd like to play for you another poem called My Greatest Challenge and Tallest Mountain. I think you'll enjoy that.
Miracle Worker. Arranged by the author, Cheryl.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to play to my little inspiration. Let's see here. They've got it listed, but I want to find it. Just bear with me a bit here. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are winding down our time here, and I want to say thank you for joining me, being a part of the show, and I want to also say maybe you ought to hear where my words stem.
Saturday morning, Dairy Queens. Dilly bars and ice cream, while listening to Mama Scream. Boys and girls, come on over here and get a taste of this cream. Late afternoon movies, with guys giving up high fives, saying, boy, that movie sure was groovy. From busing students in every cardinal direction, while looking back, it's a mere reflection of the struggle to force integration, which wasn't such an overwhelming sensation. They killed a boy the first day of school because the institution broke the golden rule, thou shall not integrate, for it's far too late. To wearing dashikis and tie-dyes and guys dressed in tailor-made suits while riding around in their deuce. To wearing combat boots and alpaca sweaters and pants made of leathers to brothers faking it in their pleather. mini skirts and go-go boots, and girls dressed in their walking suits. Christians waking up, being born again, converting to Islam, trying to avoid sin, saying God is the greatest, chanting these words were now the latest, to guys who were once on lockdown, now pushing final calls all over town, with graduation night now approaching, to guys taking up lessons in coaching, after graduating a scholar, I had to stand back to take a breath to holler, it's now time to make a dollar. Now with the community on a hike, while pushing students off the college to avoid the pipe, from Club Zodiac to the Blue Room swinging, to 11 girls on stage singing. These were the Mitchell Singers, with a makeshift band of brothers all swinging, to singing all over town, representing mother singing, for chicken dinners, while trying to win souls and sinners, with the waiter giving us a hassle, while trying to eat at White Castle, to eventually having to eat out at Hardee's after the skating party, and brothers hanging out on every street corner, giving up knowledge and pointers, to having all-night luau's at the Lure, while dancing to a tune of a Louie Louie, to Jezebels on Broadway corners, foxed up like some guys want them. This is where my wood stem. Oh, yes, this is where my wood stem. I can remember now. You can't take them away from me, for I'll plant myself right where I'll be. Then someone, oh, yes, someone will spring up, I know, just like me. To my little inspiration, arranged by the author, Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. To my little inspiration, who has brought me such motivation, before we get off on our way, I want to stop to remind you to pray, to ask the Creator to order our day. To my little inspiration, who has been such a motivation, some days will be up and some days will be down, but we must not ever give up, for our courage we must certainly keep up. To my little inspiration, who has been such a motivation, I'll never forget the lonely nights that your little arms reach out to hold me tight. You often told me that my battles that you would fight, for all the times that you dried my tears with your kisses and tried to meet all my demands and wishes. For all the times you stood beside me when I could not see. See, you were my eyes, you were my ears when I was approaching in years. I could count on you when no one else was there. You said it was the least that you could do. And with your loving smile, you stayed with me the whole night through. I love you for who you are, my little inspiration. I want you to know that you've been my greatest motivation. I give you this day to light and count and chart the course of our whole day.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going the whole distance with me. You have your Omiyika 7 in the house. Your advisor, the one you certainly need, you definitely need your advisor. I want you to get out there and go to that website, www.lulu.com, Lady Jaguar, or you could go to my www.keen.com/Lady Jag, Lady Jaguar, and you can also inquire about the CDA credentials. How do you become an advisor? How do you get an advisor to assist you? We've been talking about how to become an advisor, as well as for those candidates who would like to enroll in a CDA program. I hope that I've provided for you some valuable information that will help you in your course of obtaining employment or obtaining your credentials for school or to find a job. I also would like for you to keep following us and being a part of this show. We will be talking about the Life Way. We will be going into Montessori training, giving you a little bit about how to become a Montessori teacher as well. We want those teachers to become credentialed because we are closing the gap of disparity, we're closing the gap of ignorance and illiteracy, and we want people to become credentialed in whatever field it is. We will also down the road be talking about the STEM program, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And that is a program that Project 2019 runs to help students to go into internship for biomedicine as well as the internship for engineering. Now, you don't want to miss the rest of our segments. You want to stay with us and stay plugged in. Lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. Keep it right there. And don't move that dial because you want to tune in to the Care to Read show. You want to find out what's going on in academics, how to become an academician. You also want to find good literature. So you want to join the show, the Care to Read room. If I asked anyone, would you care to read, and if I could refer you to a book, you know this is a place to come, ladies and gentlemen. You've been a fantastic listening audience. I thank you for getting involved with the rituals. I know you're implementing them in your home. And mothers, if you're not, get on that stick and get ready to show your families that you can incorporate culture in the family. Teach and model for your families, ladies. Please remember the women have carried a lot of weight, and sometimes it's not always 50-50. We sometimes end up carrying 70 and the spouse carries 30. But that's just the way it is. It's not a problem. We can do it. We can shoulder up that little task and get that job done. What I want you to know most of all, we can be credentialed. We can go into internships. We can find programs. We do not have to stay ignorant. We must empower ourselves with knowledge. Now, because I'm saying this is because I am pushing what Project 2019 stands for in underwriting this program. Our mission is to close the gap. By the year 2019, we're going to look back over the situation and see how many new enrolled candidates in college who have gotten credentials, how many new people we see that are enrolled in internships, and we're going to help those people get enrolled in internships. We're going to show them once they get credentials and training certificates, they can open up doors and break the barrier of discrimination. Yes, we're going to have racism. We're going to always have racism with us. But if we come prepared and do our part, get our credentials, have work experience, then we can break down the barriers, and we can change things. It's not that our arch enemy or those people that you think are against us don't want us to have anything. We have to demand what is partially ours, and we have to also show them that we're literate and that we're capable of doing the job. Nobody no longer wants to hire anybody because it's a quota. We don't want any handouts. We want someone to give us a hand up, to allow us to come in, train on the job for internship, get a chance to learn and get experience, and get degrees. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Don't be afraid when I say that we can get degrees. I have two of them, and if I can show you how to get just one of them, that's what my aim is, to show you. You can go to college. You can go to internship. You can learn. You can strive, and you can show your children that they come from a society that is a learned people. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know we're one of the seven wonders of the world coming out of Egypt and a dynasty? If you just research that history, you will know how great your ancestors are. You would then know what you're responsible for doing so that you won't feel that you're inadequate. You are capable. You are adequate, and you can do it. With help, you can do it. And I want to tell you, keep tuning into this show. We're talking about health education. We're familiarizing some people with information that they already know. And for new people, we're acquainting them with very new information that they didn't know. Therefore, this show is valuable, ladies and gentlemen. It's very valuable. And teachers, please call in and talk about it and tell us what you're doing out there so that we can model for some of these new teachers and show them. It makes a difference when you bend over and pick up that starfish, because one of those starfish, you look them in the eye and said, tell them the Omi said, let your light shine on the world. Omi said, let your light shine on the world. My Omi said, let your light shine on the world. Tell them that. and tell them that you believe in them, and they will rise to the level of occasion. Some of those little kids that I've been over and tied their shoe, buttoned up their coats, do you know they're going on to become scholars, and they still are pressing forward, trying to be the best that they can be, because I asked them to let their light shine on the world, and they internalized that, and they have been working ever since. Parents, don't think it's strange that I've invited you in. You are the child's first teacher. I am depending on you to do a better job of parenting. Now that you know, parents have to be trained. Get in those classes, enroll online, get involved in taking parenting classes, and become a parent, and let your parenting job be your first job at home. Then it will open up a door for you outside in the community to teach others. How do I know this? Omi knows this because she was once a parent, and she knew that in order to become a good teacher, she first must become a good parent. Now, parents, do not, at the sound of my voice, forget about what I'm telling you. Keep that tone in your mind about training yourself and empowering yourself, because we know power is the ability to define the thing and to make others accept it as their own. This was said by a great orator, and we know that. We are defining ourselves today. We're defining ourselves, and our children will accept what we say as law. We are creating our curriculum. We're going back to school. We're educating ourselves. We're becoming endowed with power. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, please join me tomorrow back here at the same time, in the same place, at 6 o'clock. Please meet me here at the point of your need, and I'll be here to serve you. I am your servant, and I'd like to thank you for joining me and being with me the whole evening, and I give you your world back. Oh, double.